I like routine. I like to be comfortable. But God calls us outside of that. Often it's born out of desperation, as with Gideon. There was a desperate situation in Israel, but we so often play it safe. It's comfortable to play it safe, isn't it? But faith calls us into the discomfort zone. One of the great race car drivers of all time is Mario Andretti. And Mario Andretti said of racing, "If the car is always under control, you're going too slow." See, if we're always in that safe zone, maybe we're not stepping out in faith.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well, as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou, e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 6.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
You see, some people are in ministry and they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. They went, but they weren't sent. Some have, as Pastor Chuck used to say, a psychological need for attention. They will usurp a particular area of ministry that they should never be in. They do it because they want attention. They need attention to satisfy some insecurity, some quirkiness in them. And it's kind of apparent, you know, if you're a spiritual person, you just kind of see it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't ring true of the Spirit. We had, when we were downtown, we used to meet years ago at the, not the Empress Theater, at the Diamond Head Theater, Ruger Theater, it was called back then, right across from KCC there, right at Diamond Head. And we're probably a mile, mile and a half from Waikiki, but right there. And some guy came after service. He said, "Bill, can I get together with you?" And I had seen him a couple times in church, and I said, "Okay, sure." And so I met with him. He came into my office there. We were downtown on King Street there in the in one of the bank buildings there, our office was. And so he began to talk about ministry, and he said, "Bill, I would like you in the church, you know, it seems like you guys are pretty healthy, and I would like you to get behind me in my evangelistic efforts, because I want to do a crusade. And if you guys can get behind me, I want to get banners, I want to get the word out, and I want to do a crusade." And I'd never really seen the guy, I didn't know anything about him. And I said, "Well, you really want to start out small if you're going to do that. You know, we're just really close to Waikiki, and I'll help you. Take some people down on Waikiki and begin to evangelize, you know, the people on the street of Waikiki, the tourists and the locals and stuff, and see what the Lord does, you know, let your ministry just kind of grow in that way. Just be faithful in the small things." And he looked at me and he said, "Bill, you don't understand. I believe that I'm the Billy Graham of Hawaii." Literally said that. And I said, "How can you be when I am?" No, I didn't say that, but I thought that. I thought I should say that to him, you know, because I didn't want to laugh in his face, but I thought, you know, what delusions of grandeur. I never saw the guy after that. You never see any, you know, I never saw anything. But here's that psychological need for attention to be somebody. You see, the call of God is born out of the needs of people. How do I know my call? Well, what needs of the people is God showing you? You see, when you follow those needs, you'll find your calling. Out in the North Shore, we used to play Chuck's tapes, and nobody out there, we're all surfers, nobody was a pastor. Nobody felt like they should be a pastor. We always prayed, "God, bring somebody that knows what they're doing. God never did, so things kept going on, and they happened in our house and in, Sunday morning at the Sunset Beach Christian School and different places and stuff, and I just kind of found myself being, pushed into that. I mean, I had a heart for the Lord, but I'm just waiting for somebody that knows what they're doing to come. And I used to invite different pastors that I felt like really had something to say to the people, to our home fellowships. And I invited one fellow. I thought he was high up in the Assembly of Gods, but he was a great, great man. And one of the things he said I really appreciated, he said, "Don't seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, seek the baptizer." I thought, that's good. Because a lot of Pentecostals are all into the hyper stuff, but seek the person of Jesus. And so I had him come out, and at that time, I was leading, but I just, kind of was waiting for God to bring somebody that knew what they were doing. And Sam had, his name was Sam Sasser, I don't know if I said that, but he said, "Bill, our house was packed out with people. You could get 60, 80 people in there, just amazing. They were like sardines." And Sam said, "Bill, can we pray for you?" And I thought, okay. And so he laid hands on me, and they started praying, and he prophesied. He said, "Bill, you are like a Peter, and God is waiting for you to step out in faith." But as he was saying that, God gave me a vision of a big hand. It was God's hand, and a little person in that hand, which was me, pushing me out forward. And that person was doing this. Because I realized, I realized I was so reluctant to step into that place, lacking the faith to step into it. It's like, that's what I needed. I needed kind of a push. And so I got that push there. I didn't want it to be delusions of grandeur. And so that principle, that call, confirming that call from the Lord. And so Gideon got it. Then we go on. Notice Gideon, verse 19 to 24, it says, "Then Gideon went in and prepared a kid and unleavened bread from an ephod of flour, and he put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak." Remember, he's going to do that sacrifice to him and confirm his calling. "And he presented them." Verse 20, "And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord." A theophanies, or an appearance of God in the Old Testament. "And alas, O Lord God, now, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." They always thought if they saw some thing that was like an appearance of the Lord, that they would die because of that. He says, "No, you're not going to die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named the place the Lord of Peace. Here's the fifth principle, the fifth thing. Those that God uses, those that are called to ministry, to any kind of ministry. I'm not saying just a leader of Israel like him, or a pastor of a church, just any kind of ministry. I mean, whatever you might do in the body of Christ. The fifth thing is they're a worshiper of God. That's what Gideon is doing. He's carefully preparing the altar and the sacrifice. You see, he's doing that, and it's an activity that he's thinking through and doing and a part of. It's not like a second-handed kind of thing. And so God uses those who think through their time of worship and their time with God, not being an afterthought. "Well, I guess I have to. I guess we should, because it's Wednesday night study, and it's Sunday morning. I guess I should. Oh, well, they're passing the plate. I guess I should give. So I maybe I'll put in $10 this week. Wow, that's more than last week. I gave $5 last week. Well, that's pretty good. I mean, that kind of thing, it's a second thought. You know, you're not really thinking it through there. You see, it really is not the leftovers that we give God. It's the first fruits of what we have, whatever it is. Our time, our skill, our material things, the first of time, talent, and treasure, as some will say. But notice that he built the altar. We need to build an altar in our hearts. You can do that tonight. Say, God, I want to be like Gideon. I want to purposefully build that altar in my heart and worship you daily, constantly. You see, you return there quite often with offerings of thanksgiving and sacrifice. You know, the worship songs that Reuben and we all sing, amazing how throughout the day those tunes are in my mind constantly. Psalms and hymns and spiritual phrases making melody in your heart constantly. I mean, I'm not trying to bring them up. It just is a constant thing. And that's what we want to do. You see, the term worship, that word really is to kiss toward. You know, to kiss toward it. It's an intimate kind of term. The Bible tells us, and God's not pleased when he's an afterthought in our life. Not pleased at all. In Malachi 1:8, but when you present the blind or sacrifice for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? We, years ago, when we were down at the Empress Theater, had a super high ceiling. It must have been 50 feet high, twice as high as this. But I thought we had a place where we could get on the trusses and go, and we had openings there where you could actually see the congregation. And I thought, that'd be a cool shot to get a video of the congregation, you know, as we're, you know, worshiping and turning the pages of our Bible. So Dave Utes went up there, or no, maybe it was Scott that went, one of the two. I think it was Dave went up there with a camera to see what kind of images you can get. And so as he was filming, nobody could see him. Nobody knew he was even up there. And it was so high. But one of the things I noticed, which was very telling, it's like sometimes we think, you know, in our leftovers, our afterthought, our lack of passion in things of the Lord, we don't realize that God sees, God knows. He actually, it's important to him where our hearts are at, where we're at. And so as I looked at that, I just looked at it for the video. You know, I wasn't looking to see how people were worshiping or anything. But, I mean, that came out. It's like, I see these people, these women filing their nails as they're worshiping, as people are worshiping the Lord. And I saw one of our board members, one of our elders. He was just doing stuff. He wasn't even worshiping. I can't sit here and not worship when the songs are going up. And so I thought, you know, it's so telling, isn't it, to just give God the leftovers? You wouldn't do it to an official, would you? That's what, you know, Micah's saying, Malachi's saying. You're not going to do it to your governor or your president or, well, but anyway, you understand, the, you know, somebody of high official, you know, you're, you want, you know, you, but God is higher than that. We don't give our leftovers and worship to him, do we? One of the things about going on missionaries to Africa and India, unbelievable. The instruments are their mouth, their praise. They're sitting on a cement floor, packed out. And all they have is a little djembe, drum. And that's the instrument. They're worshiping God. Wonderful. Well, so did Gideon. Verse 25, we'll go on. And it says, now, the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Ashtoreth that is beside it. Now, these are all pagan idols. We'll go down to verse 27. This is the idolatry that he lived amongst. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Ashtoreth, which you shall cut down. Then, verse 27, Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And it came about, because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, he did it by night. Here's the sixth attribute, or the sixth thing, a man or a woman that God uses. They're tested by God and found faithful. If you're not tested, you can't be trusted. And if you're trusted before you're tested, you're going to be very disappointing. What I've found that I've been most disappointed when I trusted people before they were tested. I thought more of them, and I thought higher faith of them than they really had in themselves. And it's always a disappointing thing. You see, Gideon was told to do something that he didn't want to do. He didn't necessarily want to do that. It was a fearful thing. And yet it was necessary. And it'll take courage. It'll take courage to do that. Before, notice that Gideon, he coexisted with these idols in the home. Now he's called of God to now tear him down and build an altar for God. You see, he's the first in that household to be a witness, to be a witness for the Lord. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, in Jerusalem, that's your home base, your home. And they know you better than anyone knows you. They know you best of all. And you can't fool them. You can't fool them. There is where our witness begins, there in the home with our family. Something is terribly wrong if we're converted and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet that conversion experience doesn't radically affect the home life. There's something wrong there, affecting the home life in a positive way. I had a fellow in our church, he was on staff, one of the leaders, and he confessed this to me. He went home, and his child, who was just a little child, I'm not sure if it was his son or his daughter, they were only about 6 years old or so, 7 years old, maybe 5 years old. I'm not sure, quite sure their age, but what they said, I remember. Because he came to me and he said, Bill, I'm so busted. My child said to me, Daddy, why are you so different at church than you are at home? Because at church, he was the life of the party. He was all smiles and hey, hey, hey. But when he got home, he was so grumpy. He was so busted by, from the mouth of babes comes, revelation comes truth. So he turned and he repented of that. He said to me, I'm so sorry, for that. I just really am busted and I repent. We had a fella years ago in our church. He was divorced. He had two sons. He would drive, when we were out in the North Shore, he'd drive from town with his sons out to the North Shore, and then he would also be part of our Sunday school. But we met at 8 o'clock in the morning, so he had to get up like 5 o'clock, get his kids ready, and go all the way out to the North Shore. So faithful. So faithful. And yet, divorced from his wife, 6 years, he introduced his wife at an outreach that the Calvary Chapels did. I met her and she was cold. She was tough, For some reason, she came to that outreach. But you know what? His persistence and his love for her, they got remarried after 6 years. They're now teaching marriage ministry. Their two boys are now missionaries. You see, that's a radical change that God does in a person's life. And so Gideon, God says, go home, make a difference. And Judges 6, 34, it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." Here's the seventh thing. Spirit-filled person. Spirit-filled person. It really, the idea here is to wrap around, to be clothed. It's the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 3. After sin, God clothed Adam and Eve with skins. That's the idea, the Holy Spirit around that person. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the power. That's the power to accomplish God's work. And it corresponds with the New Testament, the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power. When the disciples, Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high." Same idea. It's to be clothed with power, the Holy Spirit just engulfing that person. There's one last thing, and then we close. It's faith. It doesn't necessarily say it here, but it's faith. He steps out in faith, and we see it in the next chapter when he chooses those that are going to go out to battle with him, and that's a great story as well. Faith to step beyond your comfort zone. You see, we like to be in a comfort zone. I do. I like, you know, I'm pretty much a person of routine. I like the things that I like, and I don't necessarily like to go outside of that too much. You know, I do. I've gone on missions, a lot of missions trips and stuff, but you see, I like routine. I like to be comfortable. But God calls us outside of that. You know, I don't know when he's going to call you, but that's what he does. That's what we see with Gideon here. And he calls us to give us vision, to give us renewal. And often it's born out of desperation, as with Gideon. When we go back to the beginning, he was desperate. There was a desperate situation there in Israel. But we so often play it safe. It's comfortable to play it safe, isn't it? But faith calls us into the discomfort zone. The discomfort zone. One of the great race car drivers of all time is Mario Andretti. And Mario Andretti said of racing, "If the car is always under control, you're going too slow." You see, if we're always in that safe zone, maybe we're not stepping out in faith. And maybe that's what we should do. Step out in faith and just watch God work in and through our lives.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 6. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 7. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.